One day, while Ram and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Yamuna, another demon arrived there, desiring to kill them. There's no purple here, so I'll just read the next verse also. Tam vatsa rupinam vikshya vatsa yutha gatam hari darshayan baladevaya sanir mugda ifa sadat. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, "Here is another demon." Then he very slowly approached the demon as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. Purport. The import of the words Mugdha Eva is that although Krishna knows everything, here he pretended that he did not understand why the demon had entered among the calves, and he informed Baladev by a sign. Oma gyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham karati vachalam pangam langayate girim jat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam namayom vishnupadaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in this verse 41, this 11th chapter of the 10th canto, a beautiful picture is being painted of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. So it's explained, Kadachit Jamuna Tire, that sometimes Krishna is found on the banks of the Jamuna River. So of course we know we're always singing in the mornings, Jamuna Tira Vanachari, that Krishna is always sporting on the banks of the river Yamuna. Well, Prabhupada says in one lecture that just like we like to go to the seaside, Blackpool, Clacton-on-Sea and other great places of pilgrimage, Krishna also likes to go to the seaside, but his seaside is the banks of the river Yamuna. So it's very wonderful to think, actually if you come out of the Krishna Balaram temple and you take a right and you walk up, and then as you go further up you take another right and you begin on the Parikrama Marg around Vrindavan, then as you start on the Parikrama Marg and you go straight, then that whole section of the Parikrama Marg, which runs parallel to the Yamuna, is known as the Cowherd Boys Trail. So it said that Krishna and Balaram used to run up and down there with the calves. And a wonderful place to think about, because as you walk along that trail, so many wonderful places are coming. We go forward and we go past Kaliya Ghat, where Krishna subdued the Kaliya demon. Then as we walk a little further up, we come to Dwadasa Aditya Hill, where after Krishna had gone in the river Yamuna and subdued the demon Kaliya, he was feeling a little chilly. So it said that Radharani went to that hill and she prayed for the sun to come up, and 12 suns came up to warm up Krishna's body. Like that. Of course, on top of Dwadasa Aditya Hill, we're seeing the wonderful temple of Madan Mohan, and we're remembering how Madan Mohan was amazingly reciprocating with the love and devotion of Sanatan Goswami. Then, as we walk up from the Madan Mohan temple and we go further, we come to Imli Tal. And it said that at Imli Tal, under that tamarind tree, Krishna had come there after leaving the Rasa dance, and he was thinking of Radharani. And he said that Krishna, who has a blackish complexion, turned golden thinking of Srimati Radharani. And he said that 500 years ago, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that same place at Imli Tal, of course he had come in a golden complexion, assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani, and he was feeling separation from Krishna. So he said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Imli Tal, his golden complexion turned blackish, like that. Of course, we're going forward even from Imli Tal, then we're coming to Keshi Ghat. And we're remembering at Keshi Ghat how Krishna killed the Keshi demon. And it's a wonderful place. I remember I was there in January, Vrindavan, just chanting there at Keshi Ghat. Very wonderful place. So like this in Vrindavan, even if you go in between Imli Tal and Keshi Ghat and you take a right down one of the alleyways and you walk a few minutes up the road, then you come to Radha Damodar Temple. And there we're remembering how Prabhupada stayed there for so many years and translated the Bhagavatam. So Vrindavan really is an amazing place, because everywhere we turn, we are remembered, reminded of Krishna. And therefore Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office, Mayapur is my place of worship, but Vrindavan, well, Vrindavan is my home, like that. So, and Vrindavan is the home of everyone, ultimately. This is explained, Rupa Goswami explains this in the Nectar of Instruction. Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu smrityo krameina rasana manasi niyojya tistan vrajay tadanuragi jananu gami kalam nayad akhilam ityupadesha saram. So Rupa Goswami is giving us the nectar of instruction, the upadesha amrita. But within the upadesha amrita, he's then saying there is a upadesha saram. So within these 12 instructions of nectar, there is still amongst those 12 an upadesha saram, an essence, an essential instruction. And what is that essential instruction within the nectar of instruction that Rupa Goswami is giving? He's saying, kalam nayad akilam. Prabhupada translates that one should utilize their time 24 hours a day in what? Tannama rupa charitadi sukirtananu. Constantly hearing about, glorifying Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes. And then Rupa Goswami saying, tistan vrajay. In this way, one should live in Vrindavan. Tadanuragi jananu gami. And learn to cultivate the love of those residents of Vrindavan. And learn to imbibe that kind of intensity of devotion. So this is the essence of all instructions, that ultimately we should live in Vrindavan. We're not living in Watford, we're not living in London, we're not living in New York. All these places are ultimately just places where we're at for some time. But actually Vrindavan, we should mentally reside in Vrindavan all the time. Because that's where reality is found. It's a nice pastime that once Prabhupada, he was at a press conference. So one reporter asked him, does the guru know everything? So Prabhupada, without a blink of an eyelid, said, yes, the guru knows everything. So this reporter then went to Prabhupada, kind of retorted and said, so Swamiji, can you tell me how many windows there are in the Empire State Building? See, very important information to have. Prabhupada's reply was amazing. Such a deep reply Prabhupada gave. So this reporter said, do you know how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada looked back at him and he said, can you tell me how many drops of water there are in a mirage? Such a deep reply Prabhupada gave. How many drops of water are there in a mirage? What are you going to say? 500, 5,000, 5 million? Whatever you say, it doesn't mean anything, because a mirage has no substance in reality. It's not even really there. So, this world, of course, sometimes people, they say, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you should live in the real world, you know. But what is the real world? The real world is actually Vrindavan. Parastasmat tubhava unyo, vyakto vyaktat sanatana. Because when this world comes and goes, when this world is created and destroyed, when our identity in this world comes and goes, that nature remains untouched. And that nature is therefore the real nature. So therefore, we should try to live in Vrindavan in this way, in our minds. And how do we do that? Rupa Goswami is saying, by constantly being absorbed in the name, fame, form, qualities and pastimes of Krishna. So kadachit jamana atire. Krishna is sometimes found wandering on the banks of the Jamuna. Then it's explained, vatsams charayato svake. And what is he doing there? On the banks of the Jamuna, he is tending to the calves. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the 10th canto of Sarata Darshini, explains that Krishna's life can be divided into different sections. He says, for the first 3 years and 4 months of Krishna's life, Krishna is growing up in Gokul Mahavan. And these pastimes here constitute the Kaumara pastimes of Krishna. Then, after some disturbances from some demons in Gokul Mahavan, Nanda, along with his older brother Upananda, decide that they should go to Vrindavan. So then it's explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that for the next 3 years and 4 months of Krishna's life, Krishna is in Vrindavan. And these pastimes in Vrindavan constitute what we call the Pauganda pastimes of Krishna. And then it's explained that from Vrindavan, at the age of 6 years and 8 months, Krishna goes to Nandagram and stays here for three years and 4 months. It's very systematic, Krishna is. So Krishna is there until the age of 10 in Nandagram, and then it's explained that at age of 10, Krishna leaves Vrindavan. Of course, we understand Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityaja padamekam nagacchati. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan, actually. But seemingly, Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura at the age of 10. And then, until the age of 28, Krishna is in Mathura. And then it's said that for the last 96 years of his life, his manifest pastimes in this planet, Krishna is in Dwarka. So here, vatsams charayato svake, Krishna is tending calves. It's explained that when Krishna, at the age of 3, goes from Gokul Mahavan to Vrindavan, this is the section actually now, which is dealing with Krishna at this age, then Krishna is actually given cows, calves, to tend. Of course, Nanda once is very enthusiastic. Krishna is very enthusiastic to tend the calves. So Nanda Maharaj agrees, but Mother Yashoda is not very agreeable to having Krishna wander about in the forests of Vrindavan with cows or calves. And therefore, Mother Yashoda is actually very reserved about the whole idea that Krishna should have calves and should go out. But Nanda Maharaj explains to her and pacifies her, so then she agrees. Of course, then when Krishna is going out on the first day, Nanda Maharaj gives him his buffalo horn, a rope, a stick, and specifically chooses certain calves that Krishna should tend. And then at that time when Krishna is leaving, then Mother Yashoda comes to Krishna and says, you know, here, take some shoes. You know, she's afraid that Krishna's soft feet in the forest of Vrindavan may be damaged by thorns and other things. So Krishna obviously refuses. He says to Mother Yashoda that first you have to give shoes to all the cows in Vraj, which number many, many cows. And he said, and Krishna says, dharma rakshati rakshita, that one who maintains religious principles, those same religious principles will maintain that person. So Krishna says we are Vaishyas and we're supposed to take care of cows. So therefore, if we take care of the cows, then the cows will take care of us. So like this, then finally Krishna decides to go to the forest with the calves. Then it's explained here, Vayasye Krishna Balayor. So Krishna is wandering on the banks of the Jamuna. There are calves there. And who is Krishna with? Krishna is with Balaram and all his different cowherd friends. You know, Krishna is going out daily with his cowherd friends. Actually, in the previous verse, I'll just read it out to you. We're getting an understanding of what Krishna's daily activities are with the cowherd boys. This is text number 40. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would play on their flutes. Sometimes they would throw ropes and stones devised for getting fruits from trees. Sometimes they would throw only stones. And sometimes their ankle bells tinkling, they would play football with fruits like bayo and amalaki. So there's confirmed football is a Vaishnava sport. Actually, recently I did a Veda-based search on football. Of course, these serious issues do have to be explored. So I did a Veda-based search on football just to see what Prabhupada says about football. Prabhupada actually talked about football quite a bit. I won't give a full rundown of what he said, but he did say one interesting. He said one interesting thing. He said, life is like a game of football. The problem is we think we're the players, but actually we're the football. So it's like we go around thinking we are the supreme controllers and everything is within my jurisdiction, but actually our whole lives are actually being dictated by the material energy and we're just being pushed to do certain things like a football being kicked. So anyway, Krishna was playing football with fruits like bayal and amalaki. Sometimes they would cover themselves with blankets and imitate cows and bulls and fight with one another, roaring loudly. And sometimes they would imitate the voices of animals. In this way, they enjoyed sporting exactly like two ordinary human children. So this is the spiritual world that Krishna is with his associates, giving them so much happiness. One time, recently actually, someone came to me and was complaining about Krishna. He said, Krishna is a real attention seeker. I said, what do you mean? Krishna is an attention seeker. Then he showed me the verse in the Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evyaisasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. He said, look, Krishna is saying, always think of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me. Being completely absorbed in me, you will eventually come to me. So it's kind of like this person was saying, Krishna is some kind of egomaniac, you know, everything is based around him. So I could have come back with a philosophical rebuttal, but instead I started talking to the person about Vrindavan and how actually in the spiritual world, Krishna is giving this formula of man mana bhava mad bhaktoda so that we can ultimately go back to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, we actually experience happiness. It's not that Krishna is at the center of everything and we're just slaves in Krishna's life of pleasure. But actually, we're experiencing happiness just as Krishna is experiencing happiness. And the amazing twist in the tale is that not only do you experience equal happiness to Krishna in the spiritual world, the devotees actually experience more pleasure than Krishna. And therefore, Krishna has to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience what is that pleasure that the devotees are experiencing. So it's an amazing concept to think that in which theology in the world, in which religion in the world, do you find that God has to come as his own devotee because he can't experience that sort of happiness in his position as God. So Krishna is by no means an attention-seeking egomaniac, but is actually giving more pleasure to the devotees than he's actually experiencing himself. So kadachit jamana tire vatsams charayato svake vayasye krishna balayor jigamsur daitya agamat. And it's explained that as Krishna and Balaram were having these wonderful pastimes tending the cows, that one day one demon came there desiring to kill them. So as we know, in Gokul Mahavan, Kamsa sent many demons to try to harm Krishna. Putana, Shakatasura, Trinavarta, like that, so many demons. And all of his plans were foiled. None of them worked. So it's explained that when Krishna arrived in Vrindavan, Kamsa asked one of his assistants that, who is very dear to Krishna? So the assistant said, the cows and the calves are very dear to Krishna. So then Kamsa had his bright idea that he called Vatsasura, who was a demon in the form of a calf. And he said, now your time has come to kill Krishna. So Kamsa sent Vatsasura to actually come within Krishna's herd of cows. And because Krishna loved the cows and the calves so much, Krishna would be unsuspecting. And then this demon would actually kill Krishna. So as soon as Vatsasura came within the herd of the cows and the calves, and it's explained, obviously in this next verse, that Krishna, although he was pretending he didn't know, actually Krishna could immediately understand that this demon had arrived. Krishna and Balaram began to have a conversation. And Balaram was saying, this demon has come disguised as a calf. What are we going to do? So Krishna said, don't worry, I'll kill him. But Baladev said, how can you kill? It's a calf. That would be sinful. Because we're Vaishyas, we take care of calves. Then Krishna said, no, but it's not a calf. It's a calf, a demon disguised as a calf. And when I kill, so everyone will understand it's a demon, so there will be no problem. So then Baladev said, okay, no problem. So then it's explained how Krishna was playing with each cow. And each calf was coming forward, and Krishna was scratching the calf's head and offering something to eat. And Krishna was playing with each calf, so each calf was coming one by one. And then finally, Vatsasura was in the queue as well. And then finally it came to Vatsasura's turn. And then Vatsasura came to Krishna. And then as Krishna came forward, Krishna immediately caught hold of Vatsasura's two hind legs and his tail as well. And immediately spinned Vatsasura around. And immediately flung Vatsasura straight into one of the trees. As soon as Vatsasura hit the tree, Vatsasura lost his life. Of course, Krishna achieves many things at once. So it's explained that at the same time that Vatsasura hit the tree and fell down dead, many, many nice fruits also fell. So they had a nice dessert after the killing. Like that. So in this way, Krishna actually killed Vatsasura. But then the cowherd boys actually came to Krishna and said, hey, you've done something not very nice here. You've killed a, it might have been a demon, but it was a demon in the form of a calf. So, there's some sin involved here, the cowherd boys said to Krishna. So Krishna said, okay, if you're saying that, then I'll take, what shall I do? So the cowherd boys said, then you have to take bath in Ganga for purification. So Krishna said, take bath in the Ganga, I can't, it's too far, I can't go there. So then it's explained that by the power of Krishna's mind, he actually summoned the Ganga there, right there in Govardhan, by Govardhan there. And of course you can go to that place now, Manasi Ganga. And it's explained actually that just like when you start Rajamandal Parikrama, then it's explained that you start at Vishram Ghat, and you take bath there first and then go on Rajamandal. It's explained that when you do Govardhan Parikrama, then actually the first place you're supposed to come to is Manasi Ganga, and take bath there. And then it's explained that you should have the darshan of Haridev in that temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also went there. And then from there, you begin Govardhan Parikrama. And of course, on Manasi Ganga, actually, so many nice pastimes are taking place. Krishna and the gopis and the boat pastimes and different things like that. But I won't go on that tangent now. So in this way, it's explained in this verse how Vatsasura was killed by Krishna. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrit is explaining about how each demon in Krishna's Leela represents an anartha within the heart. And when Krishna is killing those demons, then it also signifies simultaneously how just as Krishna kills those demons, Krishna kills the demons of the anarthas within our hearts. So it's explained that Vatsasura represents the anartha of a childish mentality. Of course, Vatsasura came as a small calf. And therefore it's explained that Vatsasura represents the childish mentality. So I was thinking for 10-15 minutes we could just discuss what that exactly means. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in The Harmonist, of course he used to write this magazine, The Harmonist. And in this magazine, in one article, he actually gives a whole breakdown of how the childish mentality manifests within devotees. So it's explained that, like, we're all here and we're performing sadhana bhakti. So in that sense, because we're performing sadhana bhakti, we can all be said to be children in spiritual life. We're learning how to become mature. Maturity comes at the stage when we actually develop love for Krishna. Until that stage, we are said to be children in spiritual life. So the childish mentality actually enters into each one of us. And the childish mentality manifests in different ways. And if you actually observe children, then you can actually learn so many things about this whole anartha and different aspects of how it relates to us just by observing children. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj actually gives like 10 or 15 points of how the childish mentality manifests within devotees. So I don't think we're going to get opportunity to go through all of them, but I'll just begin a few of them. So the first thing, element of a childish mentality, if you ever watch a child, then children are extremely restless, isn't it? Can't sit still for a moment, right? They need to go somewhere, they need to play with something, they need to talk to someone, they need to eat something, always restless to do something, right? So it's explained that just as children are extremely restless, the devotee, the childish devotee, the sadhaka, is actually also very restless. And in what way are we restless? Krishna explains, prakriti stani karshati. The mind and the senses of the childish devotee, the sadhaka, are extremely restless. The mind and the senses of the devotee are dragging them in all directions. Of course, I think we all have experience of the mind. It's nicely explained in the Niti Shastra. Markatasya surapanam tatra vrishchika damsanam tanmadye bhutasam charo yadva tadva bhavishyati. Okay, so now you can picture this. Markatasya surapanam. Firstly, imagine a monkey. You can turn back those days that you're in India and think of a monkey. Now it's explained, markatasya surapanam. Now imagine a monkey that is completely and utterly intoxicated. Tad vishchika damsanam. Now imagine a monkey that's utterly intoxicated, that has now been bitten by a scorpion. Shishirada Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishigoranita ki jai. Tat Tatra Vrishchika Damsanam, now bitten by a scorpion. And then Tanmadhye Bhuta Samcharo, now the intoxicated monkey who has been bitten by a scorpion, Tanmadhye Bhuta Samcharo, has now been haunted by a ghost. Yadva tadva bhavishyati. If you're going to try and predict what that monkey is going to do next, it could be anything, right? Completely unpredictable, completely irrational. The intoxicated monkey, bitten by a scorpion and haunted by a ghost, is basically our mind. Because on a daily basis, the mind is coming up with so many things which are completely irrational. Everything can be going fine. Everything can be going perfect. And still the mind will come up with something to complain about. So the mind and the senses of the advancing devotee, the sadhaka, are giving us a lot of trouble, very restless. So it's explained that the only way to control the mind and the senses is really and truly to engage those senses and the mind in Krishna consciousness. There's no other way. Because, yeah, it's explained like we chant before prasadam, sharirara vidyajal, this body is a lump of ignorance, jadendriya tahekal, and all the senses are a network of paths leading to hell. So the mind and senses, the uncontrolled mind and senses will actually lead us to hell. But Krishna bodha doya moy, Krishna is very, very merciful. And therefore Krishna sets up a system by which we can engage the mind and senses in the service of the Lord. And this is the real way to control the mind and senses and to advance in devotional life. They once came to Jayananda Prabhu and they said, how do you advance in Krishna consciousness? And his reply, I don't know, I'm too busy to think about it. Just completely engaged. And if we see the life of Jayananda Prabhu and we're remembering, then how much he was just totally absorbed and engaged in devotional service. It's explained that he was working on the Rathiyatra carts day in, day out. And he would be working sometimes for 20 hours, 21 hours, making those Rathiyatra carts to fulfill Prabhupada's desire to have Rathiyatra in the Western world. And it's explained that one time Prabhupada was leaving San Francisco and Prabhupada told his disciple, go and call Jayananda Prabhu. I want to see him before I leave. So the devotee went to find Jayananda Prabhu working on the Rathiyatra site and said to Jayananda that Prabhupada wants to see you, he's leaving. Jayananda Prabhu said, I'm very insignificant, I'm fallen. My connection with Prabhupada is through my service, so I'm just going to carry on my service here. There's more important devotees that need to see Prabhupada more than me. So the devotee went back to Prabhupada and said, you know, he's working on the Rathiyatra carts and he's busy and he doesn't want to waste your time. Prabhupada said, no, before I leave San Francisco, I want to see Jayananda. So the devotee went back to Jayananda. Jayananda again protested. Devotee came back to Prabhupada and said, no, he won't come. He's too humble. Prabhupada said, okay, if he doesn't come, I'm not leaving San Francisco. So the third time the devotee went back to see Jayananda, he literally dragged him to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was having a darshan and many, many devotees were there. And Jayananda Prabhu quietly sneaked into the room at the back. And Prabhupada immediately picked up that Jayananda had come. And Prabhupada stopped his lecture and he said, Jayananda, you come to the front. Jayananda Prabhu was very humble. Didn't like to be in the limelight, but Prabhupada called him, so he sat right in the front next to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada just continued his lecture. But Jayananda was working so hard that he hardly had any sleep. So while Prabhupada was lecturing, Jane, who actually started to fall asleep in front of Prabhupada. So as Jainan was falling asleep, the devotee next to him was thinking like, this is like Mahaparad, you know, like in front of Prabhupada. So he was like, you know, kind of jogging him. And as soon as Prabhupada saw that, Prabhupada shouted at the devotee. And he said, let him sleep. I'm very happy to see Jainan Prabhu in front of me sleeping. He is doing more work than all of you put together. And his service, his unending, unceasing, complete absorption in the Rath Yatra services is pleasing me very much. So this is ultimately the example of just being fully engaged and fully absorbed in devotional service. And by this technique, we actually learn to control the restless mind and senses. Another comparison drawn by Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is that when you see children, children are also very impressionable, isn't it? Like my brother, he has two small children, about 4 or 5. So sometimes I go to see him. So if I spend some time with them, then even within a few hours, they begin to imitate what you do. I can't imagine if they spent 1 week with me. I pick up many bad habits. But immediately, it's amazing to see how quickly children pick up things. Children are extremely impressionable. And it can also work in a negative way. I was hearing actually a report that they were assessing what the three biggest problems in schools are. So in the 1960s, you know what the three biggest problems in schools were? Chewing gum under the desk. Cheating in exams and truancy. Those were the biggest, three biggest problems in schools in the 1960s. Okay? Now, the three biggest problems in schools in the year 2000. Number one, gun crime. Number two, teenage pregnancy. And number three, the teacher getting beaten up. Right? So anyway, society is going in a good direction. So children, I mean, and what is the? How has that come about? Because impressionable, internet, TV, movies, and so on and so forth. Children are extremely impressionable. So similarly, it's explained that the devotee in sadhana bhakti is very impressionable. And therefore, we have to have good association. It's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Sadhu Sang. Krishna Bhakti Tenho Janma Puna Makya Ang. That in order to come to devotional life, Sadhu Sangha is the most important principle. But even when one is in devotional life, Puna Mukya Ang, Sadhu Sangha is still the most important principle. Association of devotees is very, very important. And not only the association of devotees, but the association of inspired devotees. Because from this association of inspired devotees, we are drawing inspiration. We're drawing so much from being with inspired Vaishnavas. It's explained that every great Vaishnava served another great Vaishnava. Prabhupada served Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj served Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Narottam Das Thakur served Lokanath Goswami. Ishvara Puri served Madhavendra Puri. So like this, every single Vaishnava in history who has become a great Vaishnava served another great Vaishnava, associated with another great Vaishnava. And by this bond of being in the Vaishnava Sangha, so much inspiration is coming. Prabhupada writes in one Bhagavatam purport that the association of devotees is so powerful that one will be forcibly dragged to success. So we are quite unwilling, in one sense, to become successful in devotional life. But just by being in the association of devotees, we'll actually be forcibly dragged to success. Another comparison that Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj draws between the childish mentality and us is how children are very, very inattentive. Right? Ever noticed that? Children, they can't focus on one thing for too long. It's very difficult. Again, I went to my brother's house and I walked into the living room and it was full of toys. Full of toys. And he was telling me that a toy nowadays for the children has an average lifespan of about 3 or 4 days. Right? After that, they become bored. Need something else. Right? So similarly, the childish devotee hasn't developed this ability to simply focus on Krishna, to simply focus on our devotional life. We're still being distracted by so many, many different things. Krishna explains that in the Gita, Bhogeshvarya Prashaktanam Dayaparita Chaitasham Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadho Nuvidiyate. That for one who is still attached to Bhoga, enjoyment, and Aishvarya, opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So still, even though we've come to spiritual life, we're still being distracted by so many different things. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explains that there's three things that are distracting the living entity. Kanaka, Kamini, Pratistha. Kanaka means the desire for wealth and opulence. Kamini means the desire for the opposite sex. And Pratistha means the desire for name, fame, and adoration. So still, even though we're in devotional life, and to some extent we focused our goal that I must become a pure devotee in this life, still like the child, we're being inattentive, we're being distracted by different things. And we're praying that with time we can overcome these things. Just like here I'm seeing Sadbhuj, the picture of Sadbhuj, and in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that the two arms of Ram with the bow and arrow kill the desire for wealth. The two arms of Krishna with the flute kill the desire for the opposite sex. And the two arms of Lord Chaitanya holding the danda and the water pot kill the desire for name, fame, and prestige. So we're praying that by serving Sadbhuj and by meditating on Krishna's form and engaging our senses, we can also become Vyavasayatmika Buddhi and completely focused on the goal. Someone was telling me a story just on this point. It was probably a made up story, but interesting concept. A blind man is in prison. So finally they decide to let the blind man go. Before he comes out of the prison, there's one huge room. And this huge room has nothing in it. It's just an empty room. And it just has four walls and there's one small door in that room. So what they do with this blind man is they say, yeah, you're free from prison, but now we're going to just put you in this room and you have to find your way to the door. So anyway, the blind man is smart. He figures out a way of getting out of the door. Right? What he does is he just walks straight. As he walks straight, obviously sooner or later he hits the wall. Right? So as soon as he comes to the wall, what he now does is he puts his hand on the wall like this. And then he just says, I'm just going to carry on walking sideways to the left, just touching the wall. And then eventually I'm going to come to the door. Right? Pretty smart idea. So it's explained he's now walking along the sides of this last room, trying to find the door. So he's just walking like this. After about 20 minutes, what happens is he has a itch on his nose. So he's walking like this, and he's trying to tolerate it. And then finally, it's just too much. So he takes his hand off the wall and kind of scratches his nose like that. And right at that moment, the door comes. But because he's scratching his nose, he's missed it. So now after just one moment, he puts his hand back and he's just thinking, okay, now it's going to come soon. Little does he know that he's just missed the door. Then he goes all the way round again, and he's thinking, my God, this is taking a long time. The door should have come by now. And as he goes round and he comes back to the door, then what happens is he has this real urge to sneeze. So he's trying to hold it in, and then finally it's too much. He sneezes and, you know, he takes his hands off, puts his hand back, misses the door again. This is likened to us. We're in devotional life and we're in the process and we're just about to get there. We're just about to get to the door, and then we become distracted by the insignificant things of this world. And then, because we become distracted, we have to go all the way around again. Mrityu samsara vartmani, Krishna says, come back to this material world and go back in that cycle. So time is moving on, it's just gone past 8:30. Today we discussed about Krishna in Vrindavan, wonderful places of Vrindavan, how we should try to live in Vrindavan in the mind. We discussed about how Krishna killed Vatsasura, and we discussed about how Vatsasura represents the childish mentality within the devotee. This childish mentality manifests in different ways. Just as the child is restless, we're also restless. Just as the child is very impressionable, we're also very impressionable. And just as the child can be very inattentive and distracted, we can also be very inattentive and distracted in spiritual life. So on this day, we're just praying to Krishna that we can fully engage ourselves in this wonderful process. And that just as Krishna killed the Vatsasura demon by throwing him into that tree, and similarly Krishna will kill the childish mentality within us, within myself, and that once we've overcome that childish mentality, we can become mature in spiritual life and actually experience the nectar that we're all looking for. So thank you very much. I think time's gone over, so we won't take any questions. But thank you for your attention and giving me the time and opportunity to speak. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gunyai Go Premanande.